Welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo. I'm the director of America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, also known as AGLCA. Today we'll be talking with Steve Westgate, who is one of our wonderful Gold Loopers, who is a resident of the state of Georgia, and he's going to be filling us in a little bit on the Great Loop route as it travels through that state. Before we get started, I do want to take a minute and recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Super Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. And, of course, we encourage all of our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. I'd like to go ahead and introduce Steve. Steve, thanks for joining me today, and especially I know you just got back from a two-month cruise just yesterday. So thank you for joining us on such short notice. But because you were just out there cruising, it means you have some very up-to-date information for us. So let's get started. Just fill us in a little bit about your own Great Loop trip, when it was, what type of boat it was, et cetera.
Okay. Well, it's a pleasure to do the show this morning. And we left 5 years ago this time of year in March. We had a 42 Grand Banks, and it was a great boat for the trip. I've owned it for 10 years and really upgraded the electronics right before we left. And we were gone exactly 1 year. We came home three times, rented cars twice, and flew home from Chicago. We made the rendezvous in Norfolk and not the other one. Enjoyed the entire trip. We really did.
And this is always a hard question for Gold Loopers because there are so many highlights. But if you had to just pick just one highlight, what would you say that might be?
Well, we enjoyed New York. How many times am I going to have my own apartment in New York City? per foot, it's expensive. It was well worth it. Canada was probably the best part. We did the Trent Severn, and I would say that was the highlight for us, although we enjoyed all of it. Yep.
Well, great. Let's move on to kind of your more recent few months of travel. We're going to cover the Great Loop route as it goes through Georgia today, which is, of course, on the Intracoastal Waterway. So let's start with kind of an overview of what type of cruising we'll find along that part of the route.
Well, it's a good bit different. Georgia has, I guess, four or five big rivers that go into the state. So you have to cross those rivers, and so there's Jekyll Sound, there's St. Andrews Sound, there's Sapelo Sound, and St. Andrews Sound, you have to go out into the ocean. And if the tide's going, and I'm going to talk south to north because that's what the troopers will be doing. If you have an outgoing tide and an incoming wind at St. Andrews Sound, it can be very rough. As a matter of fact, on our loop, that was the roughest water we had in the entire year, to include 3 days on the outside at New Jersey. So you have to cross those rivers. And I can be more specific if you'd like.
Yeah, we'll get into specifics in just a minute. So overview, it is a place that you're going to want to watch the tides and the weather conditions. I actually, when I talk about the Great Loop and other parts of the country, I hear a lot of concerns over shoaling in Georgia and through South Carolina, and we will get into the specifics of areas to look out for that. But overall, is that how big of an issue is that in Georgia right now?
Well, at low tide, there's a couple of places you want to pay attention, and you want the biggest trick about Georgia is know which way the tide is going. If it's going out and you run aground, you may be stuck for several hours. If it's coming in, all you have to do is wait a few minutes. So that's kind of the biggest trick about Georgia. But, yeah, there are some places that they have done dredging. I saw dredging in a place called Florida Passage, which is in Georgia. a few years ago. So they are working, but I can tell you the last 2 days, we did not see any dredging other than, right at the southern end of Georgia in the St. Mary's River where Kings Bay is.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sub-bay.
Okay, well, let's start to look at specifics. And as you said, you're going to work from south to north because that's the direction that most loopers would be heading. So let's start at the St. John's River, which of course is Florida, but then move up into Georgia and up through the Intracoastal there. So why don't you kind of take us on a tour of that area?
Okay, well, when you cross the St. John's River, there is a shipyard right there and a very unusual looking Navy ship that kind of looks like a Star Wars ship. We put it on our blog, and a lot of people had comments about it. But there is a fair amount of traffic right there crossing the St. John's, and you have to just pay attention to the markers. The line, the magenta line on your chart plotter may not be where the deep water is, so always pay attention to those markers. There is a free dock under that bridge at the St. John's River called Sisters Creek Bridge. So there's a free dock there, and I did want to mention that.
We always appreciate info on the free docks.
Going north to Fernandina, which is really where Fernandina is in Florida, but it's the St. Mary's River. And that's about mile 717. Georgia has about 138 miles on the ICW. I-95, on the other hand, is 112 miles in Georgia. So you would think all that winding around would be more than 24 miles or 26 miles, but apparently it's not.
Huh, interesting.
Fernandina is a great place to stay. Cute little town and restaurants and tourist places and a pretty good marina right there at Fernandina.
Okay.
So moving north, that's when you go into Georgia. You cross the St. Mary's River, and a big thing to know there is Red Right returning from the ocean to Kings Bay, which is a fairly new submarine base. I think Sam Nunn had something to do with that a few years ago. And they were spending $1 million a day for over a year building that base.
Wow.
So there is security there. And by the way, the buildings are kind of like Savannah buildings. So if you happen to get on base there, which there is no, that I know of, a military marina for our military people to stay at. But there can be a lot of security if a sub is transiting. And the big thing is the markers are on the wrong side of the river until you get up to Kings Bay, which is about mile 708. So Fernandina is 717 and Kings Bay 708. Right there on the east is Cumberland Island. There's an old hotel there named Grayfield Inn, which is very nice. There's a very small church, which I've gone to see, where JFK Jr. was married, and it made some headlines when all that happened. There's also an old mansion there called Dungeness, originally owned by General Nathaniel Greene and later on by Andrew Carnegie's brother, burned down in 1959. But there's a bunch of stuff to see there, so you can either take a shuttle from Fernandina to go over to Cumberland Island. And that's an interesting place.
And Cumberland Island is also where you can see some of the feral horses, correct?
Yep. You can, if you stay at Grayfield Inn, I know you can get a tour from them. I suspect it's a national park, so at least parts of the island are. So there's horses and other things to see. There's an old ice house there where I guess ice came down by boat. And it was a plantation, so it's an interesting island. It's worth a visit.
Right. Okay.
Moving north, St. Andrew Sound is the interesting place, and it's about 10 miles that can be very rough. yesterday we had about, or the day before, we had about 15 mile an hour winds. But it wasn't bad at all. It wasn't bad at all. Next, you get to Jekyll Island, about mile 685. And it's very shallow in the ICW at behind Jekyll. So tide's going out. You want to be very careful. I think you can make it through there in a four-foot draft boat at low tide. Just always know which way the tide's going when you're in Georgia.
I'm sorry, if you're in a little bit of a deeper draft than that, perhaps, 5 feet or so, you would certainly want to do that then at a high or a rising tide, correct?
Well, a rising tide. I don't know, it has to be high. If you wait till high, it's going to be going out quick. So,
true.
And just
very
call,
true.
Go on the phone. That's what I did when I was down in Fort Pierce. I had a question, and just call them on the phone, and you'll get a captain who can tell you about the local waters.
Okay.
Interesting. Yesterday we were had just left Jekyll, and we had a stop by the Coast Guard. Two Coast Guard guys got on board and checked us out. They were very courteous. That's right under the big bridge at Brunswick, where they came from. So they were in a rubber boat. Two of them stayed on their boat, and two of them spent about 20 minutes with us, and I'm happy to say we passed. The place going north is Little Mud River, and everybody's heard about that. I'm sure that makes the Looper Digest, which I still read, by the way.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, yep, still reading it, just to see what's happening. But Little Mud River is about mile 655 to 652. And that's the shallowest place on the way north. So you definitely want to be careful right there. Just stay in the middle, but don't always follow the red line. The red line, I noticed in the last 2 days there were several places where it went on the wrong side of a marker. Either the marker has moved or it's just programmed incorrectly. And then you cross Sapelo Sound and St. Catherine Sound. Places to stay, you can stay in Fernandina. There's marinas in Jekyll. There's marinas at St. Simons. St. Simons is where the McGladrey Golf Tournament happens, so your golfers will be familiar with that, and you can actually see that part of that golf course from the waterway. We did Georgia in 2 days. We did about a 60-mile day up to a place called Creighton Narrows, and I happen to know the guy that owns Creighton Island, so I anchored off of his dock. He has boats there, but that's about mile 643. There are other anchorages that are well-publicized along the way, and a lot of Georgia is kind of out in the open, so you either have to be prepared for that or find an anchorage that's near an island that may or may not block the wind. Moving north, you get to Kilkenny, which is a little marina. I've stayed there. That's mile 614. Fort McAllister has a marina, mile 604. And then just south of the Savannah area is a place called Hell's Gate, mile 603. We came through that yesterday, and I saw another boat on AIS that was at the north end heading south, so I waited for him to come through, and it was so two-thirds high tide, so it was not dead low. And I've been through there at dead low, but it's really shallow there. I talked to a looper the other day who had run aground at Hell's Gate on a trip south recently. So you want to be careful, and the advice the other boat gave me yesterday was just stay in the middle, and I would agree with that. What I do on places like that, I zoom in the chart plotter. I zoom in and make the river look real wide on the chart plotter, and my boat icon looks small, and I stay in the middle, and I got the Hell Gate okay. Yesterday, the water on both sides, or north and south of Hell's Gate, was pretty rough because of the wind. Then you come up to Isle of Hope, which is about another 10 miles. There's a very nice marina at Isle of Hope. If you're wanting to stay in Savannah, you can stay at Isle of Hope, but you can't walk to town. Savannah is known for Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. We had a This Old House. We have Paula Deen lives here. Matter of fact, you can go by her house. It's for sale for $12.5 million. You won't go
a little
by
bit out of the price range.
Go, yeah, yeah.
A little bit out of the range for most loopers.
Yeah, I would agree, but people want to look at her house. It's about a mile south or east on the Wilmington River, so you don't go by it unless you go in the other direction. When you about mile 585, it takes you towards Thunderbolt and then Savannah. Several other
and
Paula
Deen's restaurant is I'm sorry, Paula Deen's restaurant is still open there in Savannah too, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the lines this time of year, especially, there's a line outside every day at lunchtime. It's deep southern fried food. But it's an interesting place, and you may or may not see her in there. After Isle of Hope, you go through Turner's, through, well, there's anchorages on either side of the Wilmington River, mile 584, and Turner's Creek, which is where we live, about now. That's about a half a mile off of the ICW. But Turner's Creek is very popular because you can come up and anchor in the neighborhood of the first bridge. And there's a dinghy dock at a marina right there, and Publix is literally in the backyard of the marina. And,
perfect.
CVS, Ace Hardware, everything is right there. So if you come in Turner's Creek, just stay to the left when you first enter, go past the first two docks, and then it's deep water the rest of the way, all the way up to the shrimp boat docks, and that's where Publix and everything else is. But going on up the ICW, Thunderbolt is next at about 583. There's three or four marinas right there. Still not a walk to downtown Savannah. And I don't know if any of them have courtesy cars. I kind of think not. Thunderbolt has several restaurants you can walk to. And then it'd be a bicycle ride to a grocery store from there. And then on up to the Savannah River, Savannah River being mile 576. If you want to go to downtown Savannah, there are hotels that have docks, and there is a city dock, and there's probably directions or a phone number. You know, I hadn't looked at it lately, but that's what it was in the past, where you you walk to a parking garage to pay, and it's only, I don't know, 50 cents a foot or something. It's pretty cheap. But to go to downtown Savannah, you have to turn west on the Savannah River, and it's about 10 miles up there. The river is not a very wide river, so there's lots of current, and there are ships going all the way to the west side of downtown Savannah. It has been developed, you know, on the river, so there's restaurants and shops and everything you would need there, but you will have ships going by you, and there are also ferries downtown, so there is rocking at least till midnight or so. If I was coming to Savannah in a boat, I would probably stay in Thunderbolt and take a taxi to downtown, and I would go on a tour bus because you can get on and off the tours, and they tell you everything about Savannah. So that's how I would do that.
That's great local advice.
After
Savannah is Hilton Head, which is your first stop in South Carolina.
Right.
Let's take a quick break right here to play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, we'll just kind of talk about any places maybe along the way that you would recommend that perhaps we haven't discussed yet. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Did you know that every mile of the Great Loop is covered by Skipper Bob guides? Its mile-by-mile format is a great planning tool and essential at the helm. On the most popular routes and side trips, Skipper Bob covers preparation, navigation, bridges and locks, and the best places to visit. Skipper Bob guides are updated each year, and its website keeps you current with navigation alerts and cruising news. To check it out, go to skipperbob.net. Skipper Bob is a proud Admiral sponsor of AGLCA.
We're back on Great Loop Radio talking with Gold Looper Steve Westgate. Steve lives in Savannah, Georgia, and we're talking about the Intracoastal Waterway, the route of the Great Loop through Georgia, and Steve actually just transited that pathway just yesterday and the day before, returning home from a couple of months on the water. So, Steve, thank you again for joining us. We've kind of covered, I think, most of the waterway through Georgia. We just kind of wrapped up in Savannah, and, of course, the next stop is crossing over into South Carolina. Are there any particular ports of call that maybe we haven't mentioned or land-based sightseeing opportunities you might recommend?
Well, one place I failed to mention is Darien, Georgia. You can go up the river to, and I don't know the name of the river, to Darien, and there's a marina there, and actually go across the road into a building and pay. It's inexpensive in Darien, but it's a small southern town. Since I-95 came through, a lot of those places are off the beaten path. They were all on U.S. Highway 17, but now most of them, you know, I-95 goes through in a hurry, so it's west of most of those towns. But I did forget to mention Darien, Georgia.
Okay.
Small southern town.
Okay, and a lot of loopers enjoy visiting local restaurants as they're traveling. So, being local to that area, Steve, what are some of your favorite restaurants in the Savannah area?
Okay, well, Savannah has a Pirate's House. It's called The Pirate's House, and it's been around a long time, and actually there's some history at the Pirate's House. It was a tavern way back in the sailing ship days, and sailors would go in there and have too much to drink or get, overcome somehow, and they'd wake up the next morning with a new job on somebody else's sailing ship. There's reportedly a cave, and they'll show you the entrance to it, where they would drag the sailor out away from eyes and out to a ship where they would have a new job the next morning. So the Pirate's House is kind of a famous place. And then Savannah has lots of real good restaurants. 1790 is one of them. The Pink House, Garibaldi's. It's just too many to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good restaurants here in Savannah.
Okay. Any other particularly special marinas or places that you would suggest we visit on our way through Georgia?
Really, no. I mean, I've mentioned all the marinas. I really mm-hmm. like Fernandina, which happens to be in Florida. And there's lots of places to anchor. Thunderbolt has Hinckley Marina, Bahia Blue, TMI, which is Thunderbolt Marine. They used to build Navy boats there. Caters to mega yachts. So recently we had the tallest privately owned sailboat in the world there. And they can take 120 footers out of the water and put them in a building and do things to them. So TMI is a pretty neat marina. First one you come to if you're heading north through Thunderbolt.
Steve, I think that about covers it. I want to thank you very much for giving us your time today, especially since we know you just arrived literally yesterday from 2 months cruising. So thank you for sharing the local and current information with us. And it's always great to talk to Gold Loopers who finished a few years back and are still actively cruising and still keeping up with what's happening with AGLCA. And we Very much appreciate that. So thank you, Steve.
Okay, well, I enjoyed listening to the program and also reading the stuff on the computer every day. Like I said, I still do it.
So good to hear. Thank you very much, Steve, and thank you to our listeners for joining us this week. We'll be back next week again with another edition of Great Loop Radio. Until then, safe cruising.
Okay.